Awesome. Welcome, everyone. Glad that the people who are here in front of me are here. Glad to see you guys. And then I'm glad that we get to be seen by you in your homes. And just thank you for joining us as we continue to figure out what church looks like in the middle of this season. But we just wanted to welcome you guys and then also let you guys know, or to invite you guys to text us if you're watching. Let us know. And later on, after the service, we will pray for you by name. And if you want to send us that you're watching, and if you have any specific prayer requests, we will be looking out for that.
Right. So just to shake you up, to repeat what Matt said, because I was half listening, send us a text. And later after in the service, we'll have a time of prayer, and we'll pray for you by name. So correct. You can send it anytime during this if you're watching it live. That's the advantage you have for watching us live.
Yeah.
And we want to pray for you live time. Glad you're here. Matt, do you want to open us up in prayer?
Yes.
That'd be great.
Dearly Father, I ask that you enter into our hearts and minds and our homes, that you allow us to recognize your presence, that you have promised to be with us, where two or more are gathered around your name, that you transcend space and time, that you give us peace and comfort. Lord, thank you for being with us. And I praise you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And as we begin, as our tradition goes, we just recognize that we want to start from a place of being forgiven and forgiving others. Right now, it's hard as we're in our homes. It might be hard to forgive one another or to receive forgiveness for the way you blew up last night at the dinner table. What? Oh, that was me, not Matt. And so what we need to do is engage the benefit of being Christians, which is you are forgiven. And we get to begin in a place of humility. So we'll pray together saying the confession on page D, or it's been posted to the story online. Our prayer of confession, saying, Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are forgiven. Father, allow your word to comfort us today that we are forgiven. We pick our heads up, and we keep pushing on to be the people you've created us to be the people we want to be, because we are forgiven. Thank you. And now hear our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's all about love today. Go ahead, Matt.
So today we are continuing our series, He Wanted You to Have This. And it's where we engage in light of Jesus' resurrection. What does he give to us? What does he leave behind to you? And last week we engaged the idea of a future, that he gives you a future. And so today we are going to enter into what does this future look like for us right now. So our first reading for today is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That very day, two of them, two disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." And Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose at that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This ends the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. What a beautiful story of the resurrected Christ. A couple decades later, Peter writes a letter to his people and to the churches that are scattered abroad. So we'll be reading today from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 25. And here's what Peter writes to the scattered young churches. "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Well, Peter is answering a question that a lot of us have. And the question goes back to one of my favorite books as a child. It was released in the Dr. Seuss kind of genre, but it's not Dr. Seuss. But I thought it was for a long time. I forget the author. It doesn't matter. But it's called "Are You My Mother?" Have you ever read that one? "Are You My Mother?" And I love that one. It was written in 1960. So, you know, you may have heard of it. "Are You My Mother?" And the whole story is there's a mama bird sitting on her nest, and she goes out to get food. And while she goes out, the egg, the baby hatches from the egg and either falls out, cracks, and then walks around. But the bird now is walking around looking for its mother because it didn't have the opportunity to imprint, right? And searching for who is my mother. And so it meets a dog. Are you my mother? It meets a cat. It meets all sorts of different animals. And on the journey, it's like, you don't really look like me. You don't really have what I need. And oftentimes, it's the dog saying, I'm not your mom. Until finally, you ask an airplane, gets in a big tractor and says, are you my mom? And the thing snorts. And so the bird calls it a snort and says, I don't know if you're my mom. And then finally, the thing just puts the little bird back in the nest. And she sees her mom again, and it's all good. And I love that story because as a child, I just thought it was funny. Like, you thought a dog was your mom? But as I'm older, I realize it's actually really a profound story.
Yes.
Because we're all looking for someone to give us our identity, to secure us, and give us our purpose. So like this little baby bird needs to know, what am I?
Right.
Who am I? You're a bird. I provide for you. For the purpose of you then one day being a bird. And nothing else could give that to this little bird except a bird mom, because it was created a bird. And as we begin this, here's what Jesus gave to you. The idea is nothing else but the Creator God can give you the things you need. Since Christ has died and risen from the dead, Peter's saying, now you have a Father who gives you everything you need. So are you my mother? Are you going to give me identity? Are you going to give me security? I mean, no, only God is. So anything you look to is like this bird looking to another animal for it. And so that's how I want to begin, because today what Christ wants to give us, or what he left for us, is a legacy of love. He says, I want to identify you in my legacy of love. He wanted you to have that. And part of a legacy is the story God gives to you, the story Christ gives to you, the memory of what he did, he gives to you, and then he tells you, here's the direction you're going in. You're going to love others. And so we all have a legacy of love, and only God can give that to us. So Peter says, here is your father.
Yeah, so I just wanted to take a moment to reread verses 17 and 18, because
makes sense of what I said.
Yeah, this really struck me as I was reading this. So verse 17, and if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. If you call on him as Father, recognizing that we can call on our Creator as Father. The fact that he's our Father means that he hears us and wants to hear us. That he helps you and wants to help you. And so as we are trying to figure out who our Father is, we can look to the person, the being who created us in our own image, who actually wants to give us all good things, and we can cry out to him. And so for me, that was just, okay, he's our Father.
Right.
And he has all good for you. And that's very comforting, because we start to look towards one another and we realize, Adam, you're going to run out of good for me.
Right.
Very quickly.
It's true.
And so we start to redirect our gaze. And so today, I just want to have us start at, we're looking to God as Father. And as a Father, he has a better story to give you.
Right. I love it. He gives the story to us and to the original audience. He says, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. You're being exiled from what you know and what you love. And as long as we're in a broken world, we consider ourselves in exile. We're not under the same roof as our Father yet. And so he says, as you're in this time of exile, know that you have a Father with a better story. And I know for me, when you're raising kids most recently we've had friends of my children who's have said, well, my parents don't want to tell me what to believe, so they're letting me figure it out on my own, which sounds very reasonable. Like, oh yeah, let the kids figure it out. Except that I think that you're actually allowing your children to be orphans. Or if you don't tell me what to believe, I have to figure it out now. Who's going to tell me what to believe? I trust you. And so Peter's saying, I want to give you a story. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to try to secure your story and your meaning and all these things on your own. I will give them to you, and they're amazing. They're love from beginning, middle to end. And so it begins with knowing. The beginning of your story is know that you were ransomed. Mm-hmm. And this is an epic love story that God came back to get you. Mm-hmm. Not just random people, but you. Just like you would go back. If you left your kid at a truck stop, you would probably go back for them. That's not a stretch. Well, that's what God has done, and that's who our Father is now, and Christ is the resurrected King. The resurrection has begun. No, your story is you've been ransomed, and he loves you. You have a loving Father.
Yeah, I just, for me, the idea that we don't have to create up, we don't have to create our own meaning and our own backstory. That's something that's just should be handed down and given to us, and God has that for you. We're trying to figure out right now how we're going to decorate Mabel's room. And so we're playing around with some theme ideas, and one of the theme ideas, it could be Star Wars. And one of our friends kind of jokingly texted, is she Empire or Rebel? And Christina jokingly texted back saying, oh, we'll let her decide. And I very emphatically came in underneath saying, oh, no, she's a rebel. 100%. We're not going to let her pick. She is who she is. And so running with that idea that God has identified us and he has given us the story as a future father, I now have a story to give my daughter. And
but it's better than Star Wars.
It's better than Star Wars. Yes, I agree.
I want to hear about the better story.
Yeah,
than
so
Star Wars. I'm kind of sick of hearing about Star Wars.
I know, but I have to like make the bridge.
Do your thing.
So for me, I have a better story to give to Mabel. And as we've been reading through the Bible in a year, and as we've been reading through the Bible, I was like, I want to pass this down to Mabel, and I want to have something directed specifically to her, that as she grows up, she can have something that guides and makes sense to her and tells her who she is. And so I've been journaling personally to Mabel as I read the Bible and saying, this is what this means to you, and this is your story, and this is who you are, and I want you to know this because it's worth knowing.
That's... At home, you should go, aw, it's very sweet. It's very loving. And what I connect to and what I connect to our Heavenly Father is, like, you're being a good father before you even know what you're doing, and you're being a good father to a child who's done nothing to deserve it. That's the difference between us now and the world. You have to earn that kind of love. You have to earn that someone to think about you in journal. You have to be famous already. You have to have some value to earn that kind of love. But our Father, and we get a picture of it.
Yeah.
We give it to our children because that's the way God created this love. That's the Father we have. The legacy is I give it before you do anything. I put it on you. And so sweet baby Mabel is growing up with a beautiful story, with a bunch of friends all around her supporting her, to a future where she's going to be just loved and be able to create and be fruitful and multiply. Who knows? That's a beautiful story that our Father gives to us. It's a legacy. So that's cool you're doing that.
Thanks.
I wish I had done that for my kids.
Well, we're all still working
it
out.
I've done other things, yeah.
So, but that's, he also gives that to you. He has given you a story and an identity that you do not deserve or earned. And that's what in this following section that you discover is Jesus has given you this story and has secured it for you on your behalf without you doing anything.
Right. So the identity, all of our identity, if you have faith in Christ, is you are a person of faith. You are a child of God. But then it goes on, how is this possible? Mm-hmm. And it's possible through the perfection of Jesus Christ. Like, he secures your place as a child. He secured it. And so in all of our stories, we have to secure our legacy. We mm-hmm. have to work hard. We have to be the hero that overcomes and protects. And it's exhausting, and you never know. But the beauty of our story is you don't have to be the hero. You have a hero, that Christ Jesus has secured your place in the family by his death and resurrection, that he does all the work. He secured it for you so that all you have to do is receive it, trust him, rest in him. That's why we're people of faith, and our hope is in him, not in our own works, because we can't do enough to ever feel secure. But Christ has and done everything you need. So all of our security, I just love the legacy now, is of a loving Savior. The legacy is not, now you better do right with it, and if you mess up, it's not that at all. That's what we do to each other, and that's what we do to ourselves. But it's a better story, loving Father, a loving Savior, and he gives us a new hope. I know there's an interesting thing. What's that?
Sorry.
I know.
You just made
a fun
Star Wars reference.
I know just enough to seem cool, but I assure you I'm not cool to that. But we have a real new hope.
Yes.
I was going to say, in this section of Scripture, it's really cool. I want, Matt, you to read it the way you read it to me. You have Christ.
I read him the Scripture every night before bed.
Matt, would you
right
read
after
me
I
that
finish
again?
With Mabel.
Mabel's in the womb, and I'm right next to her, Tommy listening. That was a beautiful story. But it's really cool. First Peter mm-hmm. ends up being kind of an ancient liturgy, and I wanted you to explain that and show the people, even with the break,
yep.
of how it would be done. It's very interesting. It's
so
fascinating.
The early church fathers have viewed First Peter as a liturgy, as a sermon to those who are about to be baptized and enter the church. And so this is Peter going through, this is who you are, this is what God has named you, and this is why it's worth being a Christian. Because one, just as a reminder, these are Gentiles. These are people in Asia Minor that are separated from the Jewish heritage, and Peter's saying, you're part of the family.
Yeah.
And he's preparing them for baptism. So the first several verses up to 21 is the preamble. It's like a poem that he's reading to the people before they are baptized.
So here's the water. Here's
and
my hand on an imaginary head.
So he is saying at verse 21, who through him, through Jesus, you are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I baptize you. And verse 22.
Then you're raised up out of the waters, and he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart.
Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. I just love the imagery that when it says, having purified your souls, you've been washed in baptism. And it says, by your obedience. I used to read that and go, I don't know if I've obeyed mm-hmm. enough. Your obedience is saying, I trust Jesus. I receive the mark of baptism, where God says, that's where I'll receive you and cleanse you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be born again in a moment in time that I spoke to you. I give the story to you. I give the security. And now I wash you. You're born again. And so what are you going to do?
And here's the legacy that you now live in. Love.
Love one another. Love one another. This is your purpose in life now. Just love one another. And then if you look, there's a quote from the Old Testament. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. Now, if you have a yard like mine, you get the most beautiful, what I call weed flowers in the morning. They're really pretty, and then they fade away by the afternoon, and you can either be upset by those and try to kill them, or you just I've got to the point where I just embrace those flowers. And then I read passages like this. And you know what those flowers are? They're all your efforts in love. They're all the things you do to love one another. That's all they are. That could be depressing without a father, but it's actually really encouraging. He says, every act of love, you could save a million people by one act. It's like a flower that fades away. You could make somebody breakfast. It's the same as saving a million people. Like, it's all the same. Your act of love is just a flower that fades. But here's why that's encouraging to me. It's because the end of it. But the word of the Lord remains forever. That we're called to love because that's where God recreated us. We've been born again, and his whole purpose for us was not to save ourselves, not to save others. That's his work. Mm-hmm. Our purpose was to love one another, to love what we're doing. If you're planting something or you're working at where you love it because you're creating and you're engaging people and you're listening and you're loving, no matter how small it is or how great it is. In our culture, I feel like if something horrible happens and you work, get through it, the first thing is, I have to use this to impact others. Right. Otherwise, it has no value. And that's the story. We have a better story than that.
Yeah.
No matter how small your act of love is, it's by faith. I trust the Lord because he says it. That small act, he will use to impact the world. He will use to impact someone and change them forever. He can use that small little random act towards your daughter or your son or your wife or your mom or your dad, whatever small way it is, he uses it forever and ever and ever. This is the good news. So that when he says, my legacy is given you to love others, you're completely free to love in natural ways, in thoughtful mm-hmm. ways, and how it impacts others is not up to you. How long it works on your children or how long it yeah. doesn't matter. God takes care of that. And so now we have a legacy of loving. So all the little things we do, they fade, but the word of God remains forever and ever. He makes the eternal impact, and I'm glad for that. And he loves to see us.
Yeah.
He loves to see us restored to just being people of love, not under the having to perform, the pressure of performing.
Maintaining the legacy.
Right.
I think oftentimes we put that weight on ourselves and say, I have to maintain this. I have to keep this story going out of my own strength. And you run out.
Yeah, quickly.
You hit a wall very soon and you realize, oh, if this is up to me, this whole movement known as Christianity dies today.
Right.
But it's not.
And that's why the church continues forever and ever. And we know all the shortcomings of the people in the church. Yeah. We always love to expose them. So how does it last? Because there's little tiny acts of love. We still love each other. We still get together. We still help each other. We still pray for one another. And God's like, right, I make the eternal impact. Mm-hmm. I forgive. And I'm restoring you. You've been born again. The resurrected Christ is king now. And he's ransomed us from the old world, where it's all up to us, from the old world that says you have to make an impact to have value. He's right. ransomed you and says you have an impact because you're my child. You're essential yes. because I love you.
Yes.
And you're sure and secure because of Christ. Now get out there and play, run around yeah. again.
Be, you actually get to be a person.
And we want to praise New City Church, honestly.
Yeah.
Because we see it.
We see it.
We see the little acts of love.
So Matt
sees it, and he tells me.
Yeah, so this is why we even do, like, good in the neighborhood, is because we want to tell you guys about that, because they are small, and they are, I don't want to say forgettable, but they go away, and they can just go mm-hmm. pass on unnoticed. But it's good for us to enjoy them in the moment, celebrate them, and then continue to look to God for their internal impact and meaning. And like one of the ways is that Anthony and Walker had a couple members of the band over, and they got out on their porch and played music for the neighbors that are just walking by. And that's just a moment, and it's probably like a minute, 30 seconds for these neighbors, but that's just a little touch of love in their day. Yeah. And God can use that and make that into something. And that's not for them to have to manage or handle. It's just something that they get to do because it's naturally something that they would do anyways. And then God manages that. And then...
And I know, like, for me, several of you have asked, what can I pray for you, Adam? And you've prayed for me. And I realize that is a great little act of love. It encourages me. It nourishes me in that moment. It doesn't have to solve everything. But, like, even praying for one another, that is a loving act that God makes eternal.
Yeah.
He is now engaged in my life because of the prayer you gave to me. There's many others. Well, you had a few others, right?
Well, yeah. So, I mean...
While we're here...
Yeah, because, like, one of the big ones that happened recently, and she's actually not part of our community, but she's come to our church once before. So there's a lot of stuff going on with work, and for Christina's work even, there's things are insecure and shaky, and recently they just had to do a lot of cuts, and Christina's...
At the hospital.
Well, okay.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, were you saving that?
No. Oh. But Christina's job was at risk, and her office mate just bit the bullet and saved Christina's position, and she volunteered to be redeployed and protecting Christina and protecting Mabel, and that has an immediate impact on me. Mm-hmm. And I want to celebrate that. But I also know that God will work that impact. And I also know, like, the reality is I'll forget about this. It's a big moment. And I want to thank Valerie Borger for doing this. But I also know, like, it's not going to be, it's temporal. And I'm going to forget. But God will make that last. God has eternal impact on that. And so that's all of awesome. These little moments add up, and God does the math for us.
That's a beautiful story, man. Sorry I interrupted you there.
That's okay.
But that's exactly where God's legacy of love from beginning to end works itself out. And he works all of it. The pressure is not now for her to check up and, do you still appreciate what I did? And right. I hope it worked, or protect you. God does all the rest. And so you have a legacy of his love. And during all times, not just now, we want you to always, I want to, and I want you to know, Christ secures you. God gives you your identity. And God has set up your purpose in life. It's great. And it's to love one another. And so we carry his legacy, and he calls us to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving us the peace that passes all understanding, for applying your truth and your word, the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, endures forever. And we cling to it, and we are marked by it, and we rest in it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to say the Apostles' Creed together to remember what it is you believe, to be an anchor for you. And then after we say the Apostles' Creed, we're going to pray for some people by name if you've texted in.
All right. So Christians, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated if you're with us. But let's pray for some of the people who have reached out to us today. We'll just kind of go back and forth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you that we are not alone and that you have given us an even better story than we could imagine. We thank you for the Salisberries, for Byron and for Jana and Sage, and we pray your blessing and your love and your healing and your protection over them and all their friends, Lord, who they have many friends suffering through losing jobs, and we pray that you would use greatly the love of Byron and Jana, even praying for their friends. You multiply the little bit they bring to their friends and family, and bless their family.
And Lord, I pray for my parents, Rob and Deanne. I ask that you continue to protect and bless them, that you continue to keep them healthy, that you protect their school, and allow things to continue to flourish and thrive. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the Shems. We pray your blessing over Lindsay and Jack and John, that you would bless everything they're putting their hearts and minds to. We thank you for them and pray that you would bless them in Jesus' name.
And then, Lord, I pray for the Niederheisers, Thomas and Lauren. Lord, I ask that you continue to give them your joy and your peace. I ask that you continue to provide, that you give them your purpose and meaning, and continue to allow them to find ways to love those you surrounded them with. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, we lift up Rita and Liam. They're watching from a distance, and we're so thankful for them. And we pray that you would bless both Rita and Liam today, that you'd fill their hearts with the joy of their salvation, that you'd protect them and bless them. And we are thankful for the picture of your love towards us in Liam, who was lovingly and cared for and adopted and now is being raised by Rita. And we pray that you'd bless them today in Jesus' name.
And Lord, pray for the Winters, Cree, Ba, and Papa. I thank you for them, Lord. I ask that you continue to give them your health, your peace, and your provision. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, we pray for the Mirandas. We're so thankful for their wedding last Sunday. And I ask that you would, despite what's going on in the world, give them a memorable, wonderful first week of marriage. They'd find so much joy in one another and in the commitment that you've made to them, and it's expressed itself in their marriage. Bless them, bless their future, lead, secure their work. But we thank you for Mike and Miranda, and ask for your blessings over them in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I lift up the Servos, and I'm so glad that Walker and my godson Cal are able to watch and listen from home. And Lord, I ask that you bless them, that you keep them healthy, and that you continue to give them joy and hope and security in this time. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray for, is that all you have?
Mm-hmm. People? That's all I have.
I pray over Matt and Christina with everyone. We pray for continued health for Christina and blessing over Mabel. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for Anthony and Walker. Bless them. We're thankful for Matt and Kaylee. We pray that you would guard their hearts and continue to provide for them and bless them. We thank you for Jeremy and Tara and Freya and Zenon. God, what gifts. And we're so thankful and pray that you would protect Jeremy and his work and protect the kids through this time and bless them. We pray for Kevin and Marcia. We thank you for them and the faith that you are nurturing, and continue to grow their faith and give them your joy and your peace. And Lord, I pray over and thank you for Val and Haley and Lowry and Grace, great gifts to me. And Lord, we thank you. And we want to say thank you for promising to be with us and always promising and always being with us forever and ever. And now, Lord, we pray together the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So as we get ready to sing, just want to remind everybody of you can still give and support the network and all the work of God's love that we're doing through New City Church and that you're doing through our church. There's other churches in our network. Mm-hmm. So if you can still give and you can still trust the Lord in that way, we invite you to do that. And there's ways to do that online.
Yeah.
Before we give, well, what we're going to do is I want to give a benediction for everybody. But then just stick around for a second. I'm asking that the people who have to be here, the people who are here, to walk by and wave to you so that we're all connected. So stick around to see my kids. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look at you and smile and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Go in peace.
And serve the Lord. Love each other.
Thank you, guys.